Poison Rana.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Poison Rana Live. And you found us live.
On youtube.com/@poisonranapod. Hello, little YouTuber people.
Hello, YouTubers. Hello, tadpoles, poison pals, friends. All the things. It is Sunday. It is the Frog's Day. And the boys are back in town again. We are home.
Yes.
We are home from the United States of America, now back in Canada.
In one piece, kind of.
The world seems to be okay again.
You've got your voice back.
My voice is back. The sun is out. The Blue Jays are playing. Everything's just...
It's beautiful.
Just great.
Went for a lovely walk this morning, and I was like, I've got some time to kill. I had a Caesar
for
this show.
It was fun explaining what those were to Americans just a week ago. Because there was a few times where some friends were like, so hungover, I could use a Bloody Mary. I'm like, that sounds so wrong to me as a Canadian, and I'm sure it's the other way around.
They are, like, what I prefer about a Caesar is they're thinner. Like,
really?
The thick, yeah, like the consistency of the drink.
Okay.
It feels thinner. Like a tomato juice is quite like thick.
Yeah.
As a drink, but yeah. They do the trick for sure.
Yeah. So it's Sunday and there's a lot going on. We are back from WrestleMania. Check out up next from this past weekend on the post wrestling feed where we dived into our whole trip and then chatted about some NXT as well. So go check that out as well. And if you're listening to us on this very free feed, well, look up the shows Eagles Don't Hunt Flies as Brandon, Martin Bushby, and Dickie Bird chat all about some John Moxley mixtape where they go back and they're looking at some death matches, some CZW. You can hear Dickie spend about 8 minutes telling the world how much he hated hanging out with us in the first... You haven't listened yet.
Not yet.
He hates us.
He hates us?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is he done with us?
He's like, that sucked.
Really?
Yeah. So, thanks, Dickie.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. So go listen to that show. And then listen to maybe something a bit more positive. What Up, Doe?
Yeah.
Just dropped this morning with See No Evil and B Detroit. They got to hang out. As we said, we had a whole Air BDE in Philly. And these guys, I know See No did some coverage, some road diaries, kind of like we did on our Patreon for the post-wrestling world out there. So you got to hear a lot of See No kind of on both shows. We had See No B on some of our road diaries and then over on post-wrestling, but now they've finally done a What Up, Doe, where they chat about going to WrestleMania, doing NXT, some indie shows, and their whole experience going to Philly as well. And B, being from Detroit, has a lot of things to say about the new Detroit sign that's causing a whole lot of ruckus on the world. The city of Detroit was pretty much not promised a Hollywood sign, but promised a sign. You know that every city has like
Toronto sign
and stuff.
Yep.
And then they got it off like the side of a freeway, and it looks like it kind of like fell off the back of a truck or something. So it's not necessarily B defending it, saying B is defending it, saying, you know, hey, it's Detroit. What do you expect?
Oh, it looks all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's the placement.
I think the placement. I think like where it is, nobody's going to want to get off the highway to take
a couple of shitty looking houses behind it. And
you probably could have put it somewhere
else. Orange tarp.
So
it's all right.
So check out What Up, Doe, as well. They had a ton of fun and jokes to be had. And some thoughts on the Drake, Kendrick, J. Cole beef and I don't know, really Drake versus a million people. So they go into that as well and discuss some AI. So check out those free shows over on this very feed. If you're listening to us on YouTube, maybe one day we'll get them on YouTube. I know they want to do videos. So we'll set up some What Up, Doe lives in the future, as well as Eagles, because I think that would be pretty cool too. So but big week for the Eagles Don't Hunt Flies lads, because they also chat about how they're gearing up to watch John Moxley versus Naito. And they predict that, you know, their boy Mox was going to get the job done. And spoilers, he does.
He does.
We might chat
we'll
about
be
that.
Getting into that as well. Yeah.
But how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. It's been a good week at work. The Blue Jays, as you mentioned, are back in town, which means business is picking up, as JR would say, which is nice, you know, coming off the back of a trip where, you know, spent a little bit of money. It's nice to get like kind of quick cash and making it back up. And yeah. Been pretty good. Yesterday was crazy busy at work and just been enjoying walking around, training. I've been climbing the steps.
That's right. If you want to support animals and support us, we are climbing the CN Tower 1 week from today.
Yeah.
Are we going to do a show afterwards?
No, I think we said last year we were going to do a show, and then afterwards we were like, this is a bad idea. So I think we'll say right now. And also it's Dynasty next Sunday as well. So we'll give our thoughts on Dynasty and the CN Tower climb on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a little bit of a climb diary.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the Patreon.
Absolutely. We can do a little road diary sort of thing right after the climb. But yeah, I just climbed up the stairs today of our condo before going live, and it's starting to get easier, which is good. I actually find our condo steps maybe tougher than the CN Tower. I think because one flight is like two sets of stairs here, whereas I think the CN Tower, it's like they're shorter flights of stairs, maybe.
I mean, so like the CN Tower, for those, I'm sure everyone kind of knows what it is, but the inside of the stairs doesn't like, it's not very visually pleasing.
Oh, no,
you can't, there's no windows. It's just a very tall, at one point, I don't know if it still is like one of the tallest structures in the world, but it's just stairs basically what that long shaft, I just had
no
to say
windows,
that.
Yeah.
It's just steps. So we will be climbing these. I can't remember the exact amount of steps or flights, but it's an insane amount.
It's 144 flights, 1,776 stairs. That's recorded. But then you, once you like clock out, you got 10 more flights of stairs to go afterwards.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, so, yeah, I remember that.
Which I think it's sensible, actually. I think it's to force you to warm down.
Yeah.
So you don't just like finish and just lie down
and seize
up and whatever. But yeah, we're doing that a week today, early in the morning.
So please go to postwrestling.com/WWF to get yourselves access to helping us out.
Yeah.
And the animals.
I think we're about $30 off now from our target. We've had a good push the last week. So if you're watching live and want to throw something our way, you could be the one that pushes us over and helps us reach our target. So do you remember your time from last year?
I think
you've got it on your shirt.
I have it on the shirt somewhere, but I'm pretty sure it was like 30 minutes or 31, 30,
yeah.
30, 33, or like 30 minutes, 33 seconds or something like that. Or I'm pretty sure it was like just around 30.
So I want to beat my time.
What was yours?
Mine was 18:20.
Wow.
Even if it's by just 1 second, I'm determined to beat my time.
Yeah.
What I find difficult as well is obviously it's like strenuous. It's like constant like cardio, and it puts a lot on your quads and your thighs. But it's trying not to go dizzy because you're going round in circles. And as you said, everything's like just gray and looks the same. I remember at times
people were puking last year.
Yeah, I remember at times I was like closing my eyes to try and like reset.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be us, the lads, with John and Wei and Samuel Jackson and Jesse from the Six making the climb this year.
Yes, not the actual Samuel Jackson,
what?
But our Sam
what?
Jackson. Yes, Scorpio Sam. He'll have to carry me up. I think, like, he's the most in shape. He's like a fighter. So,
but
like,
he blew out his like
quad,
or
something like
his
that.
Ankle,
his knee or ankle.
It?
Oh,
his
ankle.
Or ankle. So,
you have the up on him.
Yeah, I do have a bit of competitiveness in me.
Yeah, I feel like it would be him trying to maybe beat everybody.
Yeah,
I'll definitely be last. But
he's
okay.
Also not good at heights.
True.
Apparently.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't look out our window when he comes over
because
we're on a high floor.
Yeah.
But yeah. I definitely, in our group, will definitely be last, but I'm okay with that. I think you're right, as long as I beat last year's thing. But
even by a second.
Yeah, yeah. So this year, I've done it once before. This year, I'm going in with performance-enhancing...
my pre-workout mix?
This year, I'm taking my... So I have asthma. So, like, last year, I had my blue inhaler on me. So, like, I did it, like, every 10 minutes, I needed to, like, take my puffer because I was... fucking climbing stairs. I was dying. This year, I got the purple puffer. Asthma people know what I'm talking about. I got the purple puffer, the disc. I'm going to pop that shit like bubble gum. And I'm going to... Well, it's just an inhaler. But I'm going to take that before I use it this time because it's just a more smarter thing to do. It'll actually open up my lungs and allow me to stop taking as many extra like breaks as I did last year, which eventually added time on my thing. So I'm going to do that. But then you also brought up that I should take... some what your pre-workout mix?
Yeah, I've got a pre-workout mix. It's like fruit punch flavor, and especially if you haven't had it for a while, it's like don't have it and coffee. There is caffeine in it.
Okay.
I've never taken cocaine.
Right.
But I imagine it's similar to this because it gets you jittery and like wired.
Okay.
And you're ready to just run.
Okay.
And things. So I think having some of that maybe like 30 minutes before the climb, and then it'll be go, we'll be whizzing up there.
I'm going to keep climbing.
Yeah, Wade's going to be like, oh, where's Brayden gone?
I'm going to be climbing that CN Tower like, where the fuck is Drake? I'm
yeah.
just whiz up it.
So we're currently $712 raised, which is fantastic stuff. Our goal is $750. So we're very close to our target. So yes, postwrestling.com/WWF. Easy to remember for us wrestling fans. And yeah, every little helps, as they say.
Yeah, it's legit held by WWF last year. I'm sure it will be the same this year. They had like the people in the outfits and the costumes. And they also like you can get, because you do it, you have to pay a little bit of money. You get a t-shirt at the end that they put the time on. And they usually give you like all these little gifts. But we're nice guys and we donate our gifts back. Mm. So in doing so, please, even if it's $5, $10, postwrestling.com/WWF.
I'm looking forward to getting another t-shirt. They're great.
They're nice. Yeah. I've worn that shirt so many times, and so many people came up to me being like, that shirt's awesome. And then they didn't even know that yeah. it was the climb, because it's just the classic WWF.
Yes.
And again, as a wrestling fan, it's pretty great. So get to have another one of those, which I'm very, very excited. But yes, we'll be doing that next Sunday. We won't be going live on Sunday, but we'll then, I'm assuming, have some peeps over for Dynasty and watch that, because that card looks pretty good. And we'll talk about that
yeah.
as well today. So another thing, I got to shout out Dickie Bird, mm-hmm. who, as maybe as miserable as he sounded on that show. No, I'm joking.
Is our relationship
now
over?
Now I'm just blowing smoke. But he, in Philly, he went to the Lapsed Fan event and with Brandon, which looked like a ton of fun. And oddly enough, Dickie ended up winning the Terry Funk branding iron that the Lapsed Fan guys got from Terry Funk's estate sale. And he was like, how am I going to fly with this back to Australia? So then he gave it to John Pollock mere hours before Pollock was supposed to go to Mania. So what the hell is John supposed to do with it? And I said, well, I'm driving back with the buddies. We can take this home. So I had a great Uber ride getting in the front seat with a fucking branding iron trying to explain, like, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
So now it is in our possession, in our house over here, the Terry Funk original branding iron. Shout out the Lapsed Fan guys, because that's just insane. We should definitely hit them up to do a show in the future, because this is just crazy. So right now in my possession is the Terry Funk branding iron. And Pollock, I'll get it to you when I see you. You know?
Yeah.
No rush, you know? Are you smelling it?
Smells good.
Just smells like all the blood and...
Well, it has got, like it's got that, like, blood iron smell to it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore, and we're pretty ecstatic to have this random branding iron in our apartment. And one day I'll give it back to John, but as for now, it's gonna hang out.
We'll have to brand us all first.
I kind of like
the CN Tower climb.
Like, that's kind of sick.
Have a good branding.
It definitely crossed my mind. I'm like, am I a sick fuck if I like want Terry Funk's branding iron like branded on me? I think I would be if I
chest.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, right, it's not that giant, but yeah.
Pretty big.
Yeah, it's pretty big. So shout out those guys. And another thing, shout out to videographer Sean Ryan from WWE,
mm-hmm.
who came up to me at WrestleMania and was saying that he loves the podcast. And I said, no, you shut up. I love your work.
Really?
And I love all the stuff you've been doing. I'm not sure if he'll hear this, but man, he was a genuine nice guy.
Wow.
And we have been talking about his work for quite a few years, even before.
Yeah, since like the OTT stuff.
Yeah, before WWE. So that guy is awesome. And I was asking him kind of what stuff he was doing over the weekend. He said he was working on some stuff, and it just... I want to share the love, because that guy has been killing it with the WWE. So shout out to Sean Ryan. And then I think that's it. I think
bit of housekeeping. We just released a brand new episode of Was Next from March 20th, 2014. The episode of NXT talking about Sasha v. Bayley 2. No, we're not talking about the Iron Woman match on NXT. We're talking about legit their second match ever. On NXT, talking about that. We're kind of on the road to WrestleMania 30. So nice discussion all about NXT from 2014.
And then this week, we're finally going to be doing our Poison profile on Paul Heyman. So we're going to look through the entire career of everything this guy has done, every check that bounced, every time he's showed up with a new wrestler.
From photography to WCW to ECW to multiple firings.
Curtis Axel.
Yes, and if you don't like that, you can suck my fucking dick.
Clearly you've watched this Hall of Fame speech now, yes. We will be recording this on Wednesday, so get any feedback in for all the Paul Heyman love, and we're going to go through his entire career. So that'll be out later this week on the Patreon.
And then rest of the month, I think we're going to be filling up with some up yours. So world champion, family member, patrons, please get your picks into us and check your inboxes. We're going to be reaching out to those of you who are coming up soon to see what wild picks you have in store for us.
Yes. So patreon.com/poisonrana, $5 to get those shows and everything that we've done, including all the WrestleMania Road Diaries from last week. I appreciate all the love we've been getting. Lots of messages saying they really loved these things, so we definitely want to do these a lot more often, and all the other shows that we did, including the reviews of Rocky, Mania 15, Takeover Philly, etc. So thank you everyone for supporting. It's only $5 to become a patron, and you can access all the shows.
Yeah,
all the shows out there. Someone recently was like, "Hey, did you guys review Lost Boys?" I was like, "Yeah, it's in the archive." He's like, "Gonna go find it."
It's got to the point where there's some things I'm like,
Did we review that? We're becoming like John Away, where we don't even remember what we're reviewing sometimes, all these years later. But yes, so we will be doing lots and lots of more shows, and the shows never stop. We'll be back on Tuesday with Up Next. But it's time for them to release the CCTV footage of Gino's stakes from every night last week.
Oh, boy. I don't know how. I lost 5 pounds.
Oh.
I weigh myself after Philly. I'm like, how did this happen?
Is it from, pooping?
I don't know.
Did you poop?
Because one day in particular, Jordan looked at me like, what the fuck? Because I had 2 cheesesteaks, ramen, and wings.
Wow.
All in a day. I don't get it.
We walked a lot.
But I walk a lot anyway.
Yeah.
I probably didn't walk any more than I do here.
I found that maybe I had cheesesteaks, but maybe I would eat a cheesesteak at one point and then hours and hours later that
you'd have another cheesesteak.
It wasn't like I was eating everything all day. So.
Yeah, and you burn it off quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but, something like that.
Oh yeah, the cheesesteaks were good.
Oh yes, still dreaming about the cheesesteaks. Definitely follow all the socials to see some photos that we've put up of stuff. But I'm still recovering from our trip. Definitely just felt so beat up.
Yeah.
After just consistently, not just partying. We like to drink and smoke, but social battery. You're meeting lots of people. Shout out everyone we cross paths with, because we would go to one place and then get an Uber and then go to a wrestling show and then go to a wrestling show and then hang out with people and then go out. And it's just kind of nonstop, constant moving. And then, as we've kind of mentioned on some shows, sleeping, the Airbnb was fucking awesome, but sleeping was just the different, orchestras of snoring and everything.
Yeah.
We survived.
I'm pretty sure Graham and I were the only two that realized you can crack a window. Because there were some smells coming out of that Airbnb.
Bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, a boy's house.
But it was funny, actually, talking of Graham, our friend who joined us, he was meant to spend the first night in New York, as we mentioned on Tuesday and in our road diaries, but weather and flight cancellations and all that, he ended up driving.
Near-death experiences.
He's never been to New York City. So we took the train, the Amtrak from Philly to New York.
Yeah.
And then had 3 hours in Manhattan before going to Newark for the flight. So had a quick 3 hours in New York.
Jeez.
What do we do?
A New York
so
minute.
It was Times Square. We got a chopped cheese. We went to Rudy's. We had a couple of beers and a shot.
Nice.
We had a New York slice. He was like, "I just want to see the Empire State Building." It's like, there it is. And then we hopped on the train.
Wow.
So, yeah, New York in 3 hours.
That sounds maybe you'll have to convince him to go there again.
I think it won't take much convincing to go to New York.
Maybe Forbidden Door now that it's Long Island.
Yeah, Forbidden Door or a Full Gear.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. We had a ton of fun in Philly. And again, anyone who's listening that we encountered, it was a pleasure. And it was a hell of a week. And now I'm kind of wrestled out. And then this is the first week I didn't watch Dynamite until yesterday. And I finally got back into it, but it took a lot for me to get into watching wrestling again this week.
I thought I'd be wrestled out. Yeah. And now I'm just like, all right, when's the next show?
When are we going?
When are we going somewhere else?
Like, they've announced a Buffalo Dynamite. I guess we got to go to that. Yeah. Money in the Bank tickets. I know people for Toronto are looking at those.
Yeah, little scared at the prices for that at the moment.
Yeah, pretty expensive for Money in the Bank.
SmackDown and NXT. I mean, the product's just so hot right now. Like, realistically, they could probably fill the Rogers Center with Money in the Bank if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So when there's high demand, high ticket prices, unfortunately.
I think even that weekend, GCW is doing a show the Friday against SmackDown. Yeah. Okay. So like, there'll be so much rest, and I'm sure there'll be indie shows announced and all these other things, including some events that we have planned as well. So definitely looking forward to seeing the Toronto peeps in a few months down there. So where do we even begin with everything going on?
I think we talk about the release of the AEW All In backstage CCTV footage, don't we?
Release the tapes.
Yeah.
They released it.
Okay, when they announced that they were doing this, what was your kind of initial thought?
Okay, well, they announced it, like, what, after WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Like, as it winds off on night one? So on the Collision, they announce that, hey,
they're showing this.
And to their credit, that was one of the most watched Collisions because of the time change.
Yeah.
Because everyone came home from watching WrestleMania and went, oh, this is on. I guess I'll just watch that. Because it beat out their like normal ratings, which I guess they should maybe move to that kind of time frame. I'm not sure. But it definitely like had a lot of people buzzing. Because think about it. We were at that time when they announced that, we were all in like this casino, and it was like hundreds of wrestling fans all like at the bars and the foods and stuff, and you could see and you could hear people were like on their phones like, oh shit, and people were talking about it. It was a very like buzzworthy trending thing. But it's interesting because like we don't know these people, and there's so many people, especially online, that like the tribalism of like you know, supporting your favorites and this and that and stuff like that. And me and you are pretty like, we look at the whole thing. We like to have a laugh no matter what the situation kind of thing, as long as, you know, everyone's all right. But looking at this from like the time frame of everything going back to All In, like, okay, Punk has just recently talked about it for the first time. And I felt like maybe he did that so that when they did release this, it didn't have quite the effect that it would have had if he didn't speak on it first. If AEW were to have released this like 3 months ago, hell, 2 months ago, any time before Punk referenced this in that Helwani interview, I think it may have had a bit more of a different like...
Yeah, I don't think they'd have released it if it wasn't for the Helwani interview though. As you said, the timing of it, I think, you know, we've seen Tony Khan's Twitter game and we've seen he's very reactionary. And defensive. And I think it was, you know, like some things, like I think Punk kind of said what happened, but definitely played it down a lot. Like, I choked him out a little. Like, he made it sound calmer than it was, I think. And you watch the video and he was the aggressor in this situation. And obviously we can't hear whether Perry made a snarky comment or whatever that justified the push or whatever. But Perry actually looks pretty calm in the video, and it's definitely Punk who's fired up there. And, you know, calling Tony Khan a clown and doesn't know how to run a business and isn't a good boss and stuff like that. It definitely felt reactionary. And I have so many thoughts and different kind of thoughts about it. Firstly, when this was announced, I'm like rubbing my hands. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm here for it. The drama's fun to me. From a business point of view, is it a good move? Maybe not. I think it is quite tacky. I think it does, like people say, oh, it feels very WCW 2000. It does have that kind of feel to it. But also, if you want to get your side out and if you feel Punk isn't being completely honest and you are reactionary, I'm like, oh, well, why don't you put it on YouTube or leak it to a TMZ or whatever? But then from a business point of view, it's like, well, why would I give them that like
bump
when we could get that bump? And I think certainly, especially with WWE, pretty much, oh, okay, SmackDown and NXT are going to be saying on TV in the US, Raw and the rest of the and everything else in the rest of the world is going to be moving to Netflix soon. So I don't see AEW going anywhere. Even if they had half the ratings they do, I don't see it going anywhere. Like, it's the most valuable thing on TV right now is live programming.
Yeah.
And wrestling is relatively cheap and it's all year round. And we've seen, like, fuck, if the CW wanted the NW fucking A, AEW's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, Impact is just, it has survived as long as it has. So I don't think it's a business killer. I think it certainly does fuel the tribalism, and it's not a great look. But also, I kind of felt you're doing something like this and it should be a Trojan horse. You know, you have, all right, we're going to probably get more viewers this week because of this. I don't think they got as much as I thought they would. It pretty much looks like
a little bump.
But 870 is kind of their ceiling, yeah. I feel now. But you should be drawing people in and then put on the best show possible. And I don't think they did that. I thought this week's Dynamite was really weak. Yeah. And if you had, you've got that, but then you've got a killer Ospreay match, you've got a killer Young Bucks match or whatever, and all this other stuff surrounding it, and you've kept those viewers, you might gain more fans because you might have those WWE fans curious in tuning in just to watch this footage. I felt the same with NXT when they did the head-to-head, and, you know, they had Cody and The Undertaker and John Cena and that. I thought that was one of their weaker shows of the actual wrestling, when around that time you had the likes of like Tiffany and Braun and Carmelo killing it every week. And I thought that was a weak episode. So I kind of felt like they failed on that behalf, but I wouldn't go as far as like, AEW's dead. Like,
cooked.
It ain't going anywhere. As long as Tony Khan is passionate about this, like, it's not leaving. And even if it were to leave Turner, another network would happily pick this thing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't come off this thinking this is the end of this company, but that's just what conclusions people like to jump to.
But you do, as a viewer, just watch it and go, that it was just tacky.
Yeah. Again, I think if you had done this beforehand, there would have been so many different, because then Punk would have to like defend himself.
Yeah.
Whereas this Punk seemed pretty genuine of like, yeah, I choked him a little bit. That's where the like, the battle line is drawn between a lot of people and fans and the world, because the age old comparison. Well, in my job, that wouldn't happen. Yes, that's fucking, we know that. We figured that out, that like, if someone were to do this to you at a normal job, they're probably fired.
Yeah.
Right? This is wrestling. Fighting happens. In fact, like, look back at Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. You know what? They didn't get along. And then Bret just fucking left.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, he didn't want to be there. There's a lot of things to take from this, and I kind of want to like kind of dissect certain things, because you're playing this footage and the Bucks are being heels and somehow twisting it to be like, FTR, you're friends with this guy, so we want to beat you. You distracted us on that event. And that's,
I actually loved that.
That was kind of funny.
I thought it plays into their EVP characters. I thought they spun it to add to this feud quite well, and I did get a chuckle out of the line, sort of, you know, these good, honest journalists or whatever, after right. Punk had gone off calling them goofs and that sort of thing. So I actually thought the Bucks part of it was pretty well done.
Heels,
pretty clever.
Yeah. And then, of course, everyone's picking that, like, oh, look how Tony Schiavone looks. He looks so upset. Yeah, he's supposed to be. They're the bad guys.
Yeah.
The bad, evil, like, bosses. And I do think they play heels way better than they have baby faces anyway. So it does tie into this. So yeah, it's like you play this footage and you get people so interested in something that happened so long ago, but the fact still remains the same. Is this building to the match? No. Is this building to Punk versus Jungle Boy at Dynasty next week? No. Punk is not here, so he's like still relevant on this show, making him more relevant than fucking ever on this show that he hasn't been on in like months.
I would say though, and we'll get into a bit of Windy City Riot, like it added to Jack Perry.
Yes.
I think it's helped him a lot, and I think it's going to help his character when he returns, which I think is going to be pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think we'll be at Dynasty next week. So in a way, it was a success that way. And, you know, maybe also, of course, we still have Brawl Out, that we don't have footage for that. But it is, in a way, like, well, we've seen what happened now, so we can't really speculate much more about All In, because we've seen it. They've all started opening up and talking about it. Punk's put his side across. We've seen the footage. So in a way, it does at least kind of end the conversation about All In, because what's left to speculate about? There's still speculation about Brawl Out.
Yeah.
Was it really a steal that bit Kenny, or was it Larry the dog? You know, like, there's other, like, bits and bobs there. Did the Bucks get the door down? Whatever. But as far as All In goes, it kind of is a conversation ender.
Yeah. Sort of. Well, so, but then that goes back to this line that the fans and everyone is, like, siding with. Okay, so it's wrestling. So, therefore, a guy getting into a fight with another guy is fine and is normal. To a lot of people, that's how they view that. To a lot of other people, watching this footage was like, whoa, Punk, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Like, you're legit, looks like you're lunging at who we can speculate is Tony Khan.
Knocking over the monitors, that's reported.
Right, like,
that. Yeah.
Like, for me, actually, it's that clip that is the most damning for me. You know what? Putting a guy in a sleeper hold, it's fucking wrestling. I watch Dark Side of the Ring every week. They tell me some crazy shit that went on. Listen to Undertaker
and
talk about
people
it.
People trained in, like predetermined, like, combat, but all of them do have some sort of physical combat background as well.
And, so, like,
whereas Tony Khan does not.
And it got pulled apart. Like, and it got, like, separated very, very quickly. Joe was, like, right on that. And luckily, Samoa Joe, being huge, was able to, like, get in between these guys. But it's Punk legit lunging at Tony, which is like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And in hindsight, it's like, yeah, he probably just wanted a reason to be gone so that he could go make more money.
He pretty much said that.
He said that. He said that.
He didn't, after Brawl Out, he wanted out of the company, and he thought Collision was a bad idea.
So, so I just look at this like, okay, Punk, you kind of come off as a dick. We all already know you're the dick. You're the lovable dick that people just seem to really still love and appreciate. And look, he came across in the Helwani interview, like, pretty genuine and like, hey, like, they didn't want me there and I tried and I'm gone, right? Mm. So I kind of see that. But now I see that, yeah, well, you also, like, doesn't matter what Jack Perry said to you. He's literally flicking his hair and you shoved him.
Perry, like, yeah, you can't. I mean, maybe he's doing this and going, like, Punk, you're a piece of shit. And, like, maybe. But Perry looks pretty calm. He looks like, you know, he looks like, look, I'm just, I'm a heel, you know, like, that's what he looks like he's saying. Whereas Punk is like, you know, the crazy eye Punk meme.
Yeah, like, it's just it's so bizarre. So again, you're seeing the two different sides, the Punk fans who are like, yeah, then he walks out and look at his entrance. He's smiling because he got in a fight. It's like, man, I grew up in a rough area. I've seen fights way crazier than that every fucking single day.
But I don't, it's not going to change anyone's opinion. Really, is it? Like the people who are supporting Punk think Punk comes off well in it. The people who don't, don't.
Exactly.
And the people in the middle are like,
okay, so I'm in the middle because, like, it is not just, you know, these two guys don't just work at a grocery store. They work in wrestling, entertainment, you know. There's fights and beefs in everything. And, it can get physical. In this case, like, no one got punched in the face or knocked out or anything like that. The choke was in for 3 seconds. It was over. It was definitely the stuff clearly yelling and almost, like, legit jumping at Tony where people had to hold him. That's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Punk is gone. But the issue is still the Young Bucks. It still comes across that maybe they not wanting to work with CM Punk was a big mistake. Because now you have Kenny Omega coming out in his, like, Twitch streams. He's been hanging. He's been recovering. Hopefully he gets well soon. Can't wait to see him back. But he's been kind of giving little bits and bobs about wrestling, and he's been very, like, vocal. And even today, coming out in some of the stories on some of the wrestling sites is, like, praising Roman Reigns and saying he's been a fantastic champion and, like, one of the best to do it, which is great seeing someone, like, talk about a different company that he wasn't in. But something Kenny said just recently was talking about Larry the dog and bringing up, like, hey, actually, me and Punk have no issues. Me and him have actually talked and cleared the air. It's actually something else that I can't deal with. So it seems that even Kenny Omega, like, the guy who just loves playing video games and playing with his cats, is like, hey, actually, I don't have any. I wanted to work with him.
You get the impression as well, from that press conference like, now we know everything after that, Punk was talking about the Bucks and not necessarily Kenny as well there. Like, I think there is a sort of respect between the two and a willingness to work with each other.
So it's just so bizarre because, I watch this clip with the Bucks playing heels, like, all right, play the clip. And then it's all I'm thinking is, this would be so good. This would be fucking great if this was going towards CM Punk versus, you know, Jack Perry or Bucks and, you know, like something. But that's not the case. So it's like a little bit too late, and not saying that's the sole reason why people aren't showing up to these shows. People aren't watching these shows as much. But like, you drop the ball somewhere along the lines, whether, you know, you hate this person and you can't work with this person, and it costed you a lot more than, like, you can't just bring in Okada and Ospreay and think everything's okay. Because I don't doing ploys like this is like just something that's not going to help them in the end game. Because now I'm just going to be like, hey, when's Jack Perry's contract with AEW up? Because WWE would make a lot of money using that in storyline. It sounds like Jack Perry and Punk even don't even.
Yeah. Like, I mean, in that interview with Punk, it was like, he didn't seem overly negative about Perry. He's just like, it sounded like, you know,
fuck Hangman.
He's talking to this kid, you know, like, come on, man. Why do you gotta be acting like this? But from John Smith in the chat saying, I don't think that was really a lunge at Tony, more of him yelling at Tony. Whether it was or wasn't, I think what you could remember, this is happening seconds before, quote unquote, the biggest wrestling event of all time.
Yeah, their biggest.
And from
pump.
That point of view, I think it's just selfish as fuck from Punk's point of view. Like, do you really need to be clearing this right now about one line said on a fucking pre-show?
And you were watching it when Joe looked like he was getting ready for his match. Why weren't you getting ready with Joe?
Yeah, like, you're going to bring this up now. Like, Tony Khan is, like, getting ready to produce the biggest wrestling show of all time, and you're doing this now. Like, yeah, okay, you get heated and stuff, but I think it's really disrespectful to all the other performers there, you know. It's like, just, all the, like, your friends FTR, Darby Allin, Sting, all these other people who you've said in these interviews you have so much respect for, and seconds before going live on pay-per-view you're gonna blow up and you're gonna yell at the boss and call him a clown and bring something up. Like, does it really have to happen there, then and there?
Right.
Like, I think that's, and especially someone who's been in the business a long time, yeah, you maybe expect that from, like, an adolescent, like, new to the business, cocky, arrogant kid. From, like, someone in their fucking 40s who's been in this business for 20-plus years.
Dude, this is all he used to do, was this. I know. Like, all he used, he made his career, and he made his fucking name doing this shit. But old CM Punk and Jack Perry doing this glass shit on camera, they'd be best boys, because he used to do this kind of stuff all the time.
But it's just, I think Punk just comes across, like, very hypocritical a lot of the time. You know, he's losing his mind because Hangman jeopardizing a potential $1 million gate. You're jeopardizing potentially the biggest show of all time here. A sold out, nearly sold out Wembley Stadium, and you're gonna air these grievances right now. Like, it's not cool. And
it's again, like, I see it from, this guy could be very angry at this guy, but it's like, really? Enough to, like, legit shove him, you know? Cool. Like, even Kenny Omega said, like, actually fighting happens a lot. People, there's other fights that haven't been reported in the history of WWE and AEW, and there's a lot of other things that beefs that get squashed eventually. Like, right? Like, Blue Meanie JBL, you know what I mean? Like, shit happens, but
Jericho Goldberg.
You still were a super aggressor in this. The fact that you, like, I just put someone in a chokehold, it's fine. And I can see people being negative at that. Something funny that comes out of airing this CCTV footage, you know, Chris Hero catching a stray, because he just reacts like most of us would, just putting his hands on his face, like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. And then, of course, that screen capped, and, you know, the memes are great. I'm not innocent of making a few myself, but shout out Chris Hero. I love you, Chris Hero, because he's just like, fuck, like, come on, we're at Wembley, we're about to do this show, like, what the fuck? But then also Hook the whole time is like, it's what's going on over there? He doesn't do anything. He doesn't give a fuck. No. He's just watching like, huh.
He's Googling where the nearest Rippers is, isn't he? In near Wembley.
He's like, huh.
I can tell you it's in Camden.
That's weird. Yeah, I mean, so we have the CCTV footage of this, but like what's next is we need the CCTV footage of the Nando's nearby, because I want to see angry CM Punk going into that fucking Nando's, and I want to know if he really does eat the spicy sauce.
Yeah, I want to know what their heat level all of them is. Yeah. Like,
he had a lot of heat that
night. I mean, that would be a great segment. Just go up and down the AEW roster and assign them. He looks like a lemon and herb. Oh, he's a triple X black bottle.
Yeah, they're double X for CM Punk. Yeah. I don't know about that.
But you mentioned that Kenny Omega stream as well. There were some interesting things there, and I personally maybe do see it likely that he would end up in WWE at some point. Like, health, obviously, his health issues are actually pretty serious. Yeah. Like, diverticulitis is, a pretty serious issue to have. I think the fact that he just wants to wrestle, he wants to make money, him kind of saying, like, the EVP titles are a bit of a joke. Like, he hasn't done anything in an EVP since.
He's not an EVP.
And I...
Like he said, like, I wasn't good. Like, I don't know why I was. I don't know why I'm
and
good at that.
What's interesting is you have the likes of, you know, Jericho and Danielson and at a point CM Punk, who do have these second contracts, which are like, what, advisors to Tony Khan? And seem to have way more pull than the EVPs actually did. I think that's probably part of why Cody left. I think he really... You see those like early Dynamites, you know, he's there with a headset, like on coming out in commentary, and he's doing the press conferences and all that. And it definitely seemed like he wanted to be more involved, and that got taken more and more away. And it just feels like here's like a gold sticker, like a badge for you can be an EVP, and I just found that very interesting. He's like, it means shit, and that's kind of what we've been all saying, but we're like, we're wondering what they do behind the scenes. And
I'm interested to see, like, again, like, Kenny is my favorite, and to hear him kind of explain some of these things while on his streams is interesting, because a lot of people are picking up on these things. Him mentioning Larry, he kind of says like, hey, I love animals, and like, I want to make it clear that like, I didn't fucking fight no dog. No. And in fact, it sounds like he was trying to be like, whoa, people are fighting? Wait, there's a dog. I better save it. And I've heard...
I do think it was Larry that bit him, though.
You think Larry
I think it was Kenny trying to get Larry out of the situation, and Larry was stressed and maybe nipped him.
Right.
But obviously, like, you know, you don't want any animals getting put down or anything. It's a good job it was Kenny Omega and not John Cena.
Why?
Do you remember that Total Divas where...
The dog bit him?
Brian Bryan's dog, nipped at him, and he's like, that dog's gonna go. And they're like, what? He's like, yeah, he bit me, he's gonna go. And they're like, we're not putting down our fucking dog.
Right, yeah. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe the Bucks were like, look... And Kenny's like, guys, no, that's mean. I think he comes across pretty genuine, and... Maybe he'll say some more things down the line. He's only started doing this, so
yeah,
more to come from him. And he comes across very genuine. And as a fan of, like, look, I'm not some of these people that I see. In fact, even talking to WrestleMania weekend, talking to some strangers and people, man, there's some hardcores who are like, fuck AEW, Tony Khan should die, or like WWE. Like, there are some real hardcore, you know, battles there, but. To me, it's like, man, I just like good wrestling. I can be a fan of the Young Bucks. I can see that they may have messed up in certain things. Same with Punk. I think he did some things I'm not a huge fan of. And then there's just Kenny, who wants to play video games and get better and hang out with his cats. So
yeah, I mean, you get the sense maybe a lot of it is like a loyalty to Colt Cabana. But is Colt Cabana a hill you want to die on? Like, I don't think so.
Yeah. So it was... It was interesting. Was it WCW 2000 levels? I wouldn't necessarily say that. In fact, most people watching these shows probably don't Maybe people liked it. I don't really think I saw a lot of that discourse, but it came across as just bad guys doing bad guy things. Heelish shit to try to somehow weave it into FTR's friends. And again, I just think the opportunities of how much interest has been since the original brawl out of the storylines and drama behind the scenes are more interesting than the storylines that they actually produce. And therefore, just imagine, and this will be something wrestling fans will continue to go and say, is in this other universe that it did work out and that it did draw a lot more people and interest, and that you were able to weave in some things and work together and make some money and some entertainment for the fans. And instead now it's just like, yeah, it's a big what if, and it will always be a big what if.
I mean, Punk's just making that money with Drew.
Exactly.
You know, Drew. Yeah. And like, when Punk signed to WWE, is Drew McIntyre a first feud you thought A, we'd get, and B, we'd want?
Yeah.
No, but like, I'm interested in that. Yeah. You know, they're making that work. But yeah, I just thought I was disappointed with the rest of Dynamite this week. I think you look at Dynasty, that card looks awesome. That's a really strong card.
Yeah.
But you watch Dynamite, and I don't really think they promoted any of it too well. And it's not until they start flashing the graphics up, you're like, oh shit, yeah, this looks like a good show.
It does.
But I think they completely dropped the ball. This was a stunt to like boost viewership, and the rest of the show just didn't hit for me. I thought, you know, I found the Ospreay thing weird. And
okay, so that's another like WWE shot with the line against Triple H, right? So Triple H at one of these pressers made reference that Ospreay just couldn't handle the grind, right? So
I think it's because Ospreay doesn't want to uproot his family.
Yeah.
And if he's going to the States, it's obviously you're doing the house shows, you're doing all that, whereas he can make it work in AEW for now, where he can fly back and forth once a week. And I think Triple H sort of said, yeah, he's not willing to do the grind, and like that would have irked Ospreay. Like,
especially Ospreay.
Especially, yeah, how much this guy does like US, Japan, and UK all in one week. The pandemic.
Just hearing him explain the pandemic, I would say he is number one, the grinder. Because, hearing the experiences this guy went through just to make sure he still wrestled for us.
Yeah.
Because he could have just went, I'm rich. I don't need that.
Yeah.
He still did it. So, like, I totally get that. I think this is just playing into the, like, everything going on. And maybe he did feel a little slighted and to make a joke.
Like, I don't necessarily. Especially since they started the promo with TV time's expensive, and you go, okay, I'm ready now for Triple H versus Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
You know, coming out this promo, and then you go, oh yeah, he's facing Danielson in a week.
Right.
Like in an interview, get that off your chest, maybe. But I just thought, like,
it should be Danielson coming out and being like, a lot of people say you're not ready for the grind. I agree. You're not ready for this grind, and I'm going to beat you.
Exactly. Like, I clawed back from retirement and all this. Yeah, I didn't think it was effective use. And especially when he's saying, you know, like, I fly to Dynamite every week and then fly back to the UK. So, sorry, you flew to Dynamite this week. All those air miles. You flew to stand on a stage with your back to the audience for 2 minutes to get a shot in against a guy you'll never face because he's got heart problems and has retired and works for another company. Like, maybe if you find that way that long, try to promote your match or wrestle.
Right. Yeah.
I think Ospreay sounds great. Like, I thought he sounded great in this promo. I just don't know how
it's that overshadows the rest of the promo.
It is. Yeah. It's you. You forget, like, it's not Danielson Ospreay I'm coming out thinking. I'm thinking of this little beef between him and Hunter.
Someone in the chat here, shout out Chris Jones, who says, the line should have been run past Renee first. She looked a little uncomfortable as he said it. I did think that as well. It wasn't quite Kanye West next to Mike Myers at the George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right.
But she did look genuinely like, I am kind of friends with that guy, actually. And I, you know, one day my... one day, Will, you'll probably work for him. But, you know, Triple H I don't think that pissed him off. In fact, Triple H probably got wind of that and laughed. So,
oh, yeah, right? Probably, like, yeah. Like, good and for I think Triple H, like for all his faults, Vince, they do put beef aside for business. Yeah. Like, how many people, like they've brought back, like Warrior, Brett, like all these people, Punk, yeah. where you thought there was no reconciliation possible at all. Pretty much everyone they've had yeah. issues with have ended up going back there and reconciling one way or the other.
Yeah.
So yeah, I see Ospreay landing there. He's still young as well. Like, I see him doing the AJ Styles thing. Like, once he can like adjust his style to like tone down a bit, still be spectacular, but he'll end up there eventually.
Yeah, he'll have great matches.
When the kid's a little older and like ready to like make the move. And
yeah, Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega at WrestleMania in like 5 years.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm someone who's like followed Kenny, and I'm like, that just sounds crazy if you told me something like that like a year ago, 2 years ago. But it's like, man, if everything else is falling apart, like, you know, at the end of the day, Roman Reigns versus Kenny Omega would probably yeah. sell a lot of money and make a lot of money. So one day, just think of all the dream matches.
Oh yeah.
Dragunov.
Yeah.
Dempsey. Danielson, he's going back too.
All of yeah, the, Danielson's retiring. Danielson,
the video keeps saying like, yeah, I'm retiring and it's my last year. He's definitely gonna stay in AEW.
He's kind of like stepped back a bit yeah. on that as well.
But like, the video says it though. The video for the match with Ospreay says like, I'm retiring this year, and it doesn't come across
from full time.
Yeah, it's you know, not like necessarily. So I imagine he stays with AEW for a little while after this and has a few like big matches here or there. But I do see him ending up in WWE as well for his like final retirement against Charlie Dempsey.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, with Regal there in the ref seat. So there you go, AEW with the CCTV footage. Anything else coming off of that? I mean, we have Dynasty next week, and you said it does look like a great show. I kind of skimmed through, again, very wrestled out this week, and some of the stuff like Rampage and Collision plus Battle of the Belts, it was just too much for me. But it does, coming out of it, has some stuff that are like, okay, adding to Dynasty, which we weren't familiar with before. Roddy and Kyle being added, like, that's pretty awesome.
Sounds good.
The FTR Bucks match is now a ladder match, which I'd normally kind of groan at, but because they've fought in just tag matches, and the last time being there, it was just okay.
I'm calling the finish now. This is FTR about to grab the belts, and Jack Perry pushes them over right. and joins with the Bucks.
Yeah,
like, the timing's right.
Yeah,
Scapegoat. And wear a goat mask, and yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. And doing it as a ladder match, it gives you the opportunity to do it that way, and right. then you complete this like new elite stable.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I want to, like, while I'm on. Before I get a positive, I want to continue dunking on
AEW sure.
right now, because what the fuck was that Mercedes Moné promo?
Oh, right. I forgot about that. The moaning in the dark. What was that? I had to turn my volume down.
Sasha Banks is like one of my favorite wrestlers. Like, I think she's fantastic. Like, I think I made her in one of our end of year shows, like my wrestler of the year 1 year. Obviously, like the Sasha Bailey stuff from Brooklyn. Like, she's such an important figure in women's wrestling, I think. But this has been a bust so far in AEW. I get the feeling that she's not cleared yet.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're pushing her debut match to Double or Nothing next month, when I think she... When was Big Business? Was that
March? A while ago now.
Like, yeah, it's like you're talking like 3 months.
Can't do 3 months of coming out and saying hi.
You maybe can if you're CM Punk and you can talk, but like, Mercedes has never been a great promo, and I just think her delivery sounded so rehearsed, so inauthentic, and then the beatdown after with the lights off, and then the weird moaning after just felt embarrassingly bad.
Yeah,
and it's weird because you watch, apparently the talk is she got the job in Mandalorian. Not from anything she did in WWE, but Jon Favreau seeing her on Hot Ones.
Right.
And I thought she came across so great in Hot Ones. And if she can just get her actual, you know, Mercedes Venado, like the actual real woman,
the person,
how she talks in real life. Whereas it just sounds like she's learned every single word from the piece of paper she's been given. Mm. And she is the CEO and it's not working. And I like, especially your first match is likely going to be against Willow, who is such a natural baby face. Like, I turn her heel now.
I turn her heel right away.
Isn't yeah. working at all. And they're paying her a lot of money. Like, she's going to be one of their highest paid stars there. And, like, and it's not, as I said, because she's not wrestling yet. Her wrestling isn't making up for it. So yeah. we're just having these bad segments where I thought she was fine the first week or two, but she just comes out and dances awkwardly.
Can't tell you one thing she said, other than I'm the CEO. Okay, the CEO of what?
Yeah, it's not working.
Unfortunately, I really agree with you. You know, we're both like, we love Sasha Banks. I go back to your NXT run. Obviously, we can't just say she was great in NXT. She was great in WWE. She had a fantastic yeah. run. You mentioned she broke that barrier. She's been in TV shows,
Sasha
Star
Bianca,
Wars.
One of the most important matches yeah. of all time.
It was, like, and it was awesome.
A like, beautiful match.
She's had quite a career. And, you know, obviously things happened to her that she wanted to leave WWE. Vince was still there when she left. Maybe and if she hung around a bit more, maybe she'd be happier with things the way they are running now. I don't know that. And again, I do see her going back because she's told us in interviews right before signing with AEW that, but I'll just go back when I like the money's better there and maybe Charlotte's not there or something. But this has been like a complete bust because it's like you come in and you haven't wrestled. Like we went to the Dynamite in Toronto after Big Business, the week after. She came out and cut a promo and then did her little dance and then she's like, okay, cool. And then the next week she did the same thing. And then the next week she did the same thing. And then again and again. And it's like, well, wait. And then she drops, oh, I'm wrestling at Double or Nothing. And I'm like, oh, sick. It's next week. No, that's not the one
what,
next
May
week.
25th?
That's in another
like
month.
That.
So wait, month, like if you're not away. Cleared, then like, why did we bring you in at this time? It's
which,
just so
which
weird.
Which makes me concerned about the extent of this injury as well.
I think this has been a complete bust because also we've been to a few AEW shows in the last little while and like are they selling like the shirts, the merch? I guess that's where they're gonna try to make their money back, but knowing how AEW runs their merch, like they're gonna fail miserably at that as well. So I just think that like it's not working.
It's Tony
at all.
Khan like not thinking things out, wanting to pop a number just because they're in Boston that week. Like, yeah, having Punk debut in Chicago, having Mercedes debut in Boston, it's a great idea. But you telling me Mercedes wouldn't get a great reaction if her debut was in Toronto or like Seattle or like anywhere? Like, she'd get a huge reaction wherever because it's Sasha Banks, it's Mercedes. Like, her debut anywhere would be good. And I think it should have been push back to after this pay-per-view cycle, maybe have her debut at like her kind of like showing up should have been at Dynasty or Dynamite after Dynasty or something like that. You don't need to be so fixated on, you know, it's got to be in Boston.
Right. Like, look, it was cool and everything, but I can't even remember what she said in that promo because
terrible.
She's not done anything. It's just like, I'm the CEO. Okay. Of what though? I don't understand. So yeah, I hope the when she does wrestle that it's amazing and blows everyone away. But at this point, even if it is, I just don't think it was worth all this. Like, it didn't live up to the hype, unfortunately. And that's, again, coming from we both, like, really were big fans of her and her WWE career. We both have, like, some of her t-shirts. We got Sasha figures and stuff. Like, yeah, like, we were a huge fan. And I just, it's definitely, like, not clicking in this week's promo. You're right, I completely forgot about it. But it was legit embarrassing because I oddly enough, was watching it by myself. But so embarrassing that I had to turn the volume down because she was straight up moaning at the end of the show. And, like, there's people in the hallway. And I need to turn this down right now. So, like, imagine you came home and that was the first thing you heard. And Brady, what are you watching? Yeah. I swear, it's not what it seems. I'm just watching AEW Dynamite. But, yeah.
I've been enjoying Okada though, like in a squash match. I think that's actually good use of him.
Yeah.
Just he's doing that bully character we were seeing towards the tail end of his New Japan run. Enjoyed that. Adam Copeland versus Penta was fine.
Yeah, it was fun, but
like
Yeah.
Penta's just lost so much luster at this point.
Yeah. And I don't think the issue, I have no issue with Adam Copeland. It's funny because Copeland gave the speech, which seems like everyone's kind of giving it in their promos. I thought Dax as well was kind of, you know, pushing that. And then same with Thunder Rosa I saw as well. But like, he's been fine. I just, Penta is just like, you fired the wrong assistant because they got rid of Jacked Jose and this fucking clown dude is still there. And
he does my fucking head in.
He needs to go. Like, he's ruined Penta. Penta is one
he
of
makes
my...
makes him so uncool.
Yeah, Penta is like, the reason I fucking love Penta so much is because he's just the fucking coolest. He's the baddest. He's awesome. But lately, no, he's so lame. So I think that's what it is. Penta needs a reset, go away for a little bit, come back, have a segment where he actually like murders this guy and says, you know what? This whole time, I thought I needed a translator to get myself over with these Americans. But in fact, I don't think that was the right call. And just fucking kill him.
Break his
get
arm. Rid
of, yeah, get, break, his yeah arm. Break his arm, bring that
Burn
back.
Burn his gloves, rip that fucking jacket off, and cut it up. And
fight three different women at once. You know, I want the old Penta, you know? Bring him back.
And then I think Swerve's kind of lost some steam as well. I think it's unfortunate timing because I think, you know, this pay-per-view build's been during the WrestleMania build, and there's been so much attention to WrestleMania. And I think in hindsight, I'd probably just had Swerve win the title in that triple threat.
Yeah.
Because as much as I, like, we wanted to see more of Joe and have more of this reign, but when you're continuing the feud with Swerve anyway, it's not like we're getting Joe then defend against other interesting people, and it feels like he's just holding it to drop to Swerve. And I think the match is going to be good. I really like Swerve. I really like Joe. And I can't quite put my finger on what it is, but I just feel he's lost his steam a little bit. He doesn't feel as hot as he was.
No, that's
a
just AEW.
So
it's all across. Yeah, like there's, if the other thing is doing so, so well, it's like that in any medium, right? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, two different wrestling shows, they're similar because it's wrestling. But if you watch, you know, certain types of TV shows, you might not tune into something else if the one show is doing really well. You're like, actually, this show kind of sucks. I don't want to watch that right now because this one's so good again, or things like that. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but the overall, like, restore the feeling was getting restored, and it quickly just dropped back down.
Yeah.
At least that's what it feels like as a fan. And it feels like that across the board here. So I really think they have what could be a classic show next week with Dynasty. Like, some of the wrestling should be outstanding. But as far as like their steam going into it, I'd say it's been a little bit like calmed down. And yeah, Swerve and Joe like will be awesome, but the story going into it is kind of just like, well, he should just beat him and then we go into the next.
And sometimes the end of a pay-per-view cycle is a good thing because we can get a bit of a hard reset. And, you know, WWE, like, it will dip a little bit because WrestleMania season's over and it'll be, like, you know, humming along until, like, the SummerSlam build or whatever. So I think it can absolutely pick it back up. Look at their roster and look at this card. This card for Dynasty just looks incredible. We're going to get some really great matches, and we're going to come out of it like we do a lot of AEW shows where we go, wasn't overly thrilled about the build, but like, man, that was one of the best shows of the year.
Yeah.
I totally have faith that that's going to happen.
Yeah, let's go through some of these matches. I talked about how they've added Kyle O'Reilly versus Roddy for the International Championship. So, I mean, we've seen this match a bunch before Undisputed Era. They then were teammates for a long time. So I think this could be pretty good.
Oh, yeah, this would be a great match.
And Kyle should just take the title from him at this point. Kyle has been a character that hasn't come back in any way, shape, or form with any buzz.
Yeah.
At all. You wouldn't know he was back unless you watch every second of AEW TV, because it's like, I felt like he's just shown up like...
When this happened, this was on Battle of the Belts?
I don't even know.
I think.
Yeah, there's too much wrestling being promoted with like not a lot of steam behind it. And I think this match could be great, though.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle's come back. His character is... You know how much Tony Khan loved watching NXT. Kyle's just returned from the woods, is the character that he's become in AEW right now. And I'm not a big fan of that, but... The wrestling-wise, I am excited to see. Because Killer Kyle is awesome. And when given the right opportunity, hopefully... Because like the last time we saw him before this injury, I remember, was it the Mox match? This is a pretty awesome match.
Yeah, I had the Eliminator match with Mox.
Yeah.
He was doing some tag stuff as well, wasn't he?
So, like, I hope we get to see that Kyle O'Reilly back, and him fighting his buddy Roddy could be a great match. Another match added, Kazuchika Okada taking on Pac, which we kind of assumed would be added to the show. And just, this could be great.
It was funny, Pac's promo on Collision, like, he's doing one of his, like, pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And he just goes, I'm not going to do the Geordie accent. I was going to for a sec. But he's like, people say you're the best in the world, but I think you're crap and I'm better. It's like, I know you hate the word crap, but it's like, he's not crap though, is he, Pac?
Come on.
I think you're crap. But yeah, I think this is a great first feud for Okada. When he came in, I think all of us would go, it's cool, but I'd have kind of liked him in WWE because I think there's more variety of new, fresh matches. Whereas Pac is a fresh match.
Yeah.
And Pac is someone, I think, unfortunately, because he keeps on disappearing for months on end, you forget how good he is. And then you'll see him in a match like this. I don't expect Pac to win at all. This is going to be an Okada win, but I think this will be killer.
Yeah, this one should definitely be a show stealer. What else is on this show? We got Timeless Toni Storm taking on Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa coming back. I feel like maybe I'm not as interested in this character as kind of when she was super red hot, but she's been definitely hit or miss. But when it comes to bell, I think these two will actually put on a pretty good match. So, like, Tony, the character is still popular, but her wrestling is pretty good. So this should be good.
This will be fine. I'm not completely invested into the feud. I'm not overly interested in Thunder Rosa right now. But while we are on the women's division, like, I do find it interesting that the same week as we see Julia with Rossi Ogawa front row at NXT, we have Mira Shirakawa on Dynamite, and we have Azumi on Collision. I'm like, okay, so now that door's fully open with Stardom, but the timing of it's very interesting. But I think it's a good thing. Like, the Stardom, the Joshis are fantastic wrestlers and will absolutely, like, up the quality of wrestling within the women's division.
They are, like, the wrestling already showing, like, they're kind of leagues above some of the wrestlers in the women's division in AEW. Yeah. But then on top of that, you promote for a few days, like, hey, tune into AEW Dynamite because we're going to show some security footage of two guys trying to get in a fight, when in reality you should have said, look, Mina and Maria are going to kiss.
Yeah.
And it's going to be clipped a lot.
Yeah.
And bookmarked a lot.
No, very strong segment. One of the highlights of Dynamite.
Yeah, honestly, like, everyone's like, oh, WCW 2000. I'm like, I think we watched different shows.
Apparently stuff they did in Stardust.
Yeah.
Well.
It's
like,
not
it
just
a thing.
Yeah.
But then they did this people just watching it like, what?
Yeah. Again, you walk in, Brayden, what are you watching? It's just Dynamite. I swear. It's just Dynamite. I swear.
Yeah.
So, what else at Dynasty? We got Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe taking on the House of Black. They're really teasing the Cope versus Malakai, but instead
but we know we're not going to get a Malakai Black singles match, so.
Yeah.
Because unless he's winning the title, Malakai ain't interested in that.
Apparently, yeah.
This feels a little odd. I think we haven't had Copeland here too long. He wasn't on the last pay-per-view, and then having him in a six-man, I guess because he wants to do the open challenges on TV, so we can have this.
You could promote that future big match, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a good match, but as good as they are, I just am not interested in House of Black at all. I don't think they've done any job in making me interested in them, because I think all of them are more interesting as singles wrestlers.
I like the group. They could do a lot more. Like, they are a popular stable, but there's something going on with this guy and not wanting to. They did the thing where it's like, oh, people say you don't want to wrestle singles matches, so here's the match with Brian Keith. It's like, yeah, but that's not what we're fucking talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, be on TV.
Yeah.
Cut promos. Be a wrestler. Where are you?
How many, aside from Cody, name me another singles feud Malakai's had?
Brian Keith, just that one.
Yeah, I can't. I legit can't think of any.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
In AEW. Yeah.
So I think this will be good, but it's low down on my interest.
Yeah, I'd agree. Also representing the house, Julia Hart putting the title on the line against Willow Nightingale, the TBS title. Willow should just win it so that Willow can face...
Well, apparently Julia got injured on Dynamite as well. Yeah. So like, the match is still being promoted, but we'll see. But they could always do just a quick squash job, maybe.
Give it to Willow at this point. Willow versus
We're getting Willow Mercedes. Mercedes, aren't we? So that makes sense.
I really do love Willow.
Mercedes going to grace us with a wonderful commentary again for this?
I hope not.
Yeah.
Just moaning on the mic.
I'm the CEO. Okay, Sasha.
I really love Willow. Yeah. Like this whole like, hey, look, we're spending millions of dollars on this superstar. She's been in WWE. She's been in Star Wars. And now I'm like, yo, that's pretty cool. But Willow, though, is like just organically becoming good.
I think what we're going to get, and I think it will finally just make everything slot into place, is Stokely screws Willow out of the title and joins Mercedes.
Okay.
And I think that will help everything. I think.
Yeah.
I think Mercedes can definitely use a mouthpiece, and I think Stokely and her feel like they'd be a good match. You've already had this sort of story going on with Stokely kind of being like a big fan of Chris Statlander but not of Willow, and sort of Willow's maybe like trying to like is growing on him a bit. But you could even have Chris turn on Willow as well and be like Mercedes heavy as well. So
yeah,
we got to wait 6 weeks until Double or Nothing for that to happen.
Yeah,
really. But I think once that happens, everything could like fall into place quite nicely. And having Willow on the chase, like to beat a heel Mercedes Moné, will work so much better.
Absolutely, that would work a lot more than whatever they're doing. Just we got to get there, and so far it sucks.
Yeah,
what is happening? But hopefully, coming out of this, Willow is made a proper big baby face, right? Like coming out of this. She's one of the best.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is really good. We also have the Young Bucks taking on FTR in a ladder match for the vacant World Tag Team titles. We kind of said it already, but having Okada in the New Elite plus mentioning Scapegoat, showing the footage of Jack Perry and Punk, you imagine now the finishes. Jack Perry shows up and shoves them to help 100%. Them win, which I think would get a lot of heat. And would help with whatever they're attempting to do. But I think that match could be pretty good. Also, Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW title. I think even though the Swerve story is kind of cooled off just a little bit, there's a lot going on, I think it still is the right decision.
They haven't said this is a chain match yet, have they?
A chain match? No, right?
Well, because both weeks they've taken each other out with chains.
Just make it a... like. No DQ or something.
It definitely feels like that's where they're going, but I would have thought it would be announced by now.
So, like, he should win the title and then what? Like, has a defense at Double or Nothing against Hangman again? Or, like, Wembley should be Swerve and Ospreay.
Swerve Ospreay at Wembley, yeah. It's where the Hangman's back yet, and I don't necessarily think we need to go there yet, but... Yeah, I'm trying to think who would be a good match for that.
MJF also could be returning soon. I'm not sure, but there's a few things in the fold there. But I think Swerve as champion would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's not... I don't know if it's the main event, but it truly has my interest the most. The dream match, Ospreay-Danielson. I cannot wait for this match and am so angry that we're not going to this match, considering how much fucking wrestling we go to. And I've said this to you for the past few years, like, oh, the second they do this match, we need to be there. And we're not going there. I'm like, ugh. But
I'm still up in the air about All In. And I thought this would be the All In match.
Me too.
And I think if it was, or like if story was indicating that's the way we're going, I'd be a bit more committed to be going All In. We're getting it at Dynasty. Can't wait. Part of me wants Danielson to win. Danielson loses a lot of his big matches, and I think as a babyface chasing to get that win off of Dragon further down the line, I'd be kind of into.
Yeah, like even if it comes at the cost of like using the Don Callis thing.
Okay, yeah.
Like Don Callis could be like, oh, actually, the family doesn't need you, or something, which... KFY wasn't make sense because this guy's like your shining white knight. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know what you do in that situation, because Danielson is also now like more pivoting. He's always like, I'm a good guy, but a bit of a dick, the story, yeah, the character, right? And him basically saying, like, Ospreay, you think you're the shit. Well, you haven't fought me yet. So regardless, this match should be awesome. And hopefully it's the first of many down the line here in AEW, because I'm sure we'll get a few of them. But genuinely excited for this matchup. Yeah. And I don't really care who wins, but we all will.
Absolutely.
Because the wrestling will be good. So there you go. Dynasty, as much as AEW's in the mud, as they like to say, I still think this show could be a classic pay-per-view. And so far, their pay-per-views this year have been pretty good. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely excited for this one.
Yeah, and kind of still on the AEW front, we had Windy City Riot take place with Jon Moxley winning the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Yes, Jon Moxley is now the world champion in New Japan Cuck Wrestling.
Is that New Japan Cuck Wrestling?
Yeah, like, what the fuck are they doing? Here's Okada, you can have him, you can have Ospreay as well. Why not just have our world title as well at this point?
So
it's okay, we've got Toriano.
Everyone this week has been kind of dunking on New Japan, because everyone assumed that Forbidden Door would be at Arthur Ashe, and then these dirt sheets came out that, oh, New Japan doesn't want to go half on doing that event venue, so that's why they're doing it at a smaller, like an arena, which I don't necessarily think that has something to do with
it. I think the Long Island, it's one of the new, it's Prudential, no, not Prudential
UBS
Center. It's a big arena, though.
The USB Center? Yeah, I don't know. Center. But yeah, so they are doing that cross-promoted thing, but like New Japan just, like, they're all over the place, because I could not tell you. I watch so much wrestling. But
it's 18,500, so it's pretty much the size of Arthur Ashe.
Yeah, it's big.
Minus a couple of thousand.
Okay, that's still pretty big. So, like, what's going on with them? Because is New Japan Strong still a show?
Clearly
it is, because, like, some of these guys on this show, on this Windy City Riot show, like, had strong titles. But, like, okay, so they lost, like, all their stars.
Yeah.
All the big stars for New Japan are gone, and they have to pivot towards the future. But we know that in wrestling, like, going towards the future is the right way, but you need to do it smart, or else you can't just go, and here's our stars now. And, like, they have a few in the making. You got Shooter, you got Tsuji, you got, like, a few of them, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't just, like, happen right away. And clearly, you could see the story with having Naito dropping the title in America to Moxley is pretty, like, oh shit, like, but we kind of said when they announced this match, yeah, they fucking should, because, like, what else do they have going on for them?
I completely forgot this match was happening, so it took me a bit by surprise when I'm seeing Mox with the title. I think it's great. I think Mox deserves this title. He does feel like a big champion for them, but just from a company point of view, it's I don't know what their direction is, and I assume this is Mox holding this title until Forbidden Door, where he'll drop it to
Shooter?
Someone, but I can't.
Shota?
And that's, New York is relatively easy for us to get to. It's accommodation often, that's the pricey thing for us going to New York, but we both love it. Like, it's a awesome city. Great to go and watch wrestling there. And off the success and the quality of the last two Forbidden Doors, this is an event I'd be interested in, but I'm just scratching my head.
What would that show even be?
I don't know.
It's all AEW people.
All AEW.
It'd be Okada versus Naito. Dream match. Forbidden Door is open. It's
I can't see any match what you do. Like, I think Dragon v Dragon kind of writes itself. And
yeah, finally, and do that match.
That's something,
please,
we should have. But aside from that, I don't, like, Moxley v Shooter makes sense from a story point of view and would be a nice way to crown Shooter and sort of have him try to take the mantle, but I don't see him as the guy yet. Tsuji is the guy who seems the most ready, and I think you need to kind of do that like they did with Okada, just hotshot someone and put everything behind them. And I feel Tsuji is more ready for it at that point to, like, lead the charge for the new generation. I like Shooter, but I don't know. I don't see what this card is going to be.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it's in a few months. It's in June, but, like, end of June. But, like, yeah, considering all the top people in New Japan are now in AEW, it's like, we don't need New Japan anymore because we got all the. I'm saying that as a joke, but like, no, we got all the big stars.
It's kind of that. Yeah. Like, maybe in like not doing it this year, but a year from now, you might have these stars now to like put on something compelling.
Because wouldn't Mox then technically be wrestling for New Japan, considering he's the champion? So he would then wrestle an AEW star?
Maybe.
So it's not a forbidden door then.
So, I can't see what this match is and who he'd drop it to.
Like, who's Okada like, going
to
wrestle?
Just drop it back to Naito, but that's not interesting either.
No, it's like
Sonata's not interesting. Yeah. We've seen him against Tanahashi. That's not interesting.
You know who is? The scapegoat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put a title on him.
Like, we know they're not going to strap up Ishii at this point. Like, that just ain't ever going
to
happen.
Yeah, he's losing to Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Now,
maybe that's who Mox loses to. Dolph Ziggler. A rematch from SummerSlam 2017, I think.
I've had many pink Ziggler shirts in my life, but the interest is completely gone. Like, yeah. I didn't even Ishii, the match we watched today, I kind of like didn't care about it. I went to Bloodsport. Him versus Bayley was okay. Like, everything he's done thus far outside of WWE is just like safe.
Yeah,
like he's just okay. Yeah, that's great. Same with Ali. Ali has not hit it.
Especially,
he just needs to get rid of this gimmick. Like, he really wanted to get this gimmick over.
He's been pushing it for years.
Holy shit, it sucks. Like, it sucks so bad.
And no one likes politicians.
No, stop.
No one likes politicians. No, even the nice politicians, we don't even fucking
like. Be a hacker, the light, whatever.
A babyface politician.
Stop it.
During an election run, like, no. I want to get away from politics when I watch wrestling.
Yeah, and very weird.
Oh, it's... Yeah, he's very, like...
Bland. It's boring. Yeah, nothing going on.
He's a fine wrestler.
Yeah, same with Ziggler. Right. Same with a lot of people. There's just, like...
Ziggler would have been interesting 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. Like, if he, you know, shortly after that world title run, when he was super hot, and you could feel that they were losing faith in him a little bit in the Fed, then going and mixing up with these guys in New Japan would have been awesome.
Well, he didn't. And then Cody did it, and then look what happened to Cody.
It's like too little, too late.
Yeah, so New Japan, Forbidden Door stuff. I watched some of Windy City Riot. Honestly, I did remember that Mox was facing Naito for the title. And part of me was like, oh, it'd be awesome if he won it. But I didn't think they would, and then was genuinely shocked and really, really happy for Mox. He's the first guy to ever win the WWE title, the AEW title, and the IWGP. Yeah. So, I mean, someday someone else will win... and have that, but he's the first guy to ever do that, which is pretty awesome. So hopefully he helps lead the charge for New Japan going forward. But I also had a lot of interest, considering the timing of Jack Perry's match against Shota on this show announced a while back, and then the footage being leaked this Wednesday, it made me more interested
and
in this
match.
And
being in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he shows up, and all the credit to him, because he sees I can make money from this. Yeah. And it sucks that it's not going to lead towards the match, because you could just imagine that in good faith that that's what it would lead to. And we'd all be happy to see that match, maybe some more than others. But he comes out in Chicago with, what, riot guards?
Yeah.
Like wearing riot gear, the Chicago flag over his shoulders, revealing his leather jacket, the Crimea River. And he gets booed, but half the crowd... we're cheering for him. Yeah. So actually, he was like, oh, shit, okay, hold on a second.
It's one of those things you're, as a fan, enjoying getting into the character.
Yeah.
Enjoying hating this guy and therefore kind of getting into him and liking him.
Because the "you got choked out" chants were instantly rebutted with, no, he didn't, which were equally as loud. So it was like, oh, shit, okay. So in the end, this is, if the question is, well, what's going to happen to Jungle Boy? I think he's going to be just fine.
I think it'll be good. I like the new look, you know. Growing the beard out, the hair more tied back. I think the long boys, because he looks, I mean, being called Jungle Boy, but he looked like a boy as well. And I think he's filled out a little bit more. I think playing into it is a great idea. I think the character really will work. And therefore, I think maybe there is an argument for showing the footage if this character works out. I think you know where I'm going to go. Wish American fans knew how to fucking chant.
That pissed me off. If we were there, that would not have gone down.
Sorry, there's
Cry
a song
River.
Called Cry Me a River.
Yeah.
And you're singing Seven Nation fucking Army because that's the only song you know.
Yeah.
Cry Me a River, oh, oh. Yeah. Cry Me a River, oh, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easy.
We didn't watch this together, but watching it yesterday.
If this was in Europe, if this was in London, like, oh, but man, it's, oh, what fits into, it's either New Day Rocks or Seven Nation fucking Army. Come on, boys.
Yeah, Yanks. Come on. Oh, yeah, actually, genuinely.
Defense. Defense.
Genuinely Jesus. Watching it, I was like, oh, they got us. Like, he has it on his entrance. The jacket says Crimea River. I'm like, oh, this crowd could do something great. And then they just sang Seven Nation. I'm like, God, no. And I wasn't watching with you, but I knew. I was like, oh, if this is making me mad, I know Davey's going to be so pissed.
At Mania, I'm pretty sure, maybe another, but certainly in my section, I started the yeah. Bailey chant, and you could hear people trying to get in. So I start going, 5, 6, 7, 8, hey, and everyone, and then people are joining in with yeah. the counting as well to do it. But man,
yeah,
you need the Ogden lads there to get a proper chant going.
Crimea River, Tony, what you need to do is in a
buy the song.
Yeah, yeah. Hit up JT. he needs something to do, and bring in the song.
You know, if you. Jungle Boy could look a bit like JT if he cut the hair and everything.
You know, there's controversy about that song, though, right now. So, like, Justin, basically, Britney Spears, the song is about Britney Spears, yeah. and the song is supposedly about Britney Spears cheating on Justin Timberlake. When right. just last year, Britney Spears puts out a book saying, no, actually, Justin Timberlake was kind of a dick to me, and, you know, I didn't cheat on him, and he cheated on me, yet he made a song with that false narrative and made money off that when, like, no, I didn't do that. So everyone was like, oh, boo you, Justin. And then Justin's at a show and is like, hey, I don't know if I'm allowed to like do this song, but like, fuck it. And then plays the song and everyone's like, well, it's a fucking banger. Though,
the Beatles didn't actually live in a yellow submarine. So, you know, like.
So then JT, like, there was some sort of like, Britney was like, actually, you know, I'm not angry at JT. So then he's like, oh, I can do this song. And then Britney was like, no, actually, you know what? Fuck you, JT. So then he's doing this now. He's on tour promoting new music, but he's legit saying this before every show. He's saying, I'm not my agents and said don't do this song, but like people want to hear this song. So
you know, so Dynasty, like FTR bald, is climbing up. He's about to grab it. Jack Perry comes out, pushes the ladder, he goes crashing down through the table, the Bucks win it, Perry gets the mic. The damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving.
Get Timberland's voice. Whoa. Damage is done. Yeah. So I guess I'll be leaving. Honestly, TK, buy that song.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's just going to poke the inevitable. You're not going to that match. So, like, how much will they, like, ride out on CM Punk's yeah. name to, you know, get some heat? Yeah. But right now,
he'll probably just buy Seven Nation Army instead.
Yeah, so I'm in on Jack Perry.
Yep,
I mean, like,
me too.
good for him for somewhat using this in, you know, a positive and getting himself some heat and apparently some fans as well. Because again, it sounded like pretty split in Chicago for this guy. So that kind of told me that some people are on the fence of their second city saint in their own city. Like, maybe this guy didn't deserve the hate. Like, Chicago, you don't just need to hate Jungle Boy just because of this. Because even CM Punk didn't seem that mad at Jungle Boy. He's just pissed at the Bucks.
Yeah.
And dumb fucking Hangman Page or whatever. But, yeah. Like, if it was Hangman doing this shit, you'd be like, yo, man, that's kind of fucked up. Yeah. You should stop. But he's not, because he's smarter than that.
He's just tending to the horses, isn't he?
With his mustache yeah. and his family. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just doing nice guy things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, so Jack Perry and Shooter, you know what, actually, that was a pretty good match. Mm-hmm. Shota beat him, and then they kind of had a little bit of a respect thing after. Not going to lie, I saw he had a new shirt, the Jack Perry House of Torture Cry Me a River shirt, and I was like, that's pretty fucking funny. And I went to go buy it. It sold out. You cannot really? Buy his shirts, so.
You almost bought a House of Torture shirt.
I thought it would be funny. It looks sick. You wouldn't know what it was. It looks like right. a metal band shirt with like the metal shit and it says Cry Me a River. So I'm like, that's fucking hilarious. So I click on it and it's like, yeah, it's already sold out. I'm like, damn, good for you. So it's working. In case anyone's like, what's that guy ever going to draw? Someone did have a great sign though in the front row at this Windy City show. And it had a stick figure of Jack Perry. And it right. said, I can't draw either. Or something like that. Like, basically, like, you can't draw.
Yeah.
But
got you.
But he did.
He did.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's some New Japan stuff going on. And Mox is champ. What else?
Going to WWE?
I think so, yeah. I mean,
let's be positive now.
So New Japan just keeps losing all their stars.
Yeah.
Not just to AEW, but to WWE.
Yeah.
It seems. Because I watched SmackDown and I'm like, wait, who's this guy in this hood? Oh, wait a second. I know who that is. And he cut his hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's had that for a while.
He's had it for a little while, yeah. But yeah. Tama Tonga
finally in WWE. Yeah, I think this is kind of where we thought it's going. I expect Jacob Fatu to be joining pretty soon. I think he's just finishing up some indie dates, perhaps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the idea, like the new bloodline. I like the on orders of the tribal chief, where you're now going, okay, who is the tribal chief The Rock now? Is the tribal chief Solo? Like, kind of making it not necessarily obvious that it's Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
They're talking about. I see us having, like, the new bloodline versus the old bloodline.
Wow.
Down the line.
Bloodline Wolfpack.
Like, yeah. Maybe, like, peek at War Games or something. Like, that kind of thing. But I like this. Tama Tonga's a fine wrestler. Like, I actually really enjoyed that match he had this year with Shingo. I thought that was
pretty one of his best matches, actually, yeah.
But I can't say he's one of my favorites. But this is... I'm looking forward to see where they go with it. Like, he got a bit of a reaction from this crowd, which is pretty good considering, like, he's never really wrestled on, like, American TV. So, yeah, I think it's the right move. I do see Roman takes some time off. When he comes back, he'll be a babyface. Cody kind of gave that respect to him, and there were the thank you Roman chants on Monday. And I think now the title reigns over, people will look at it and go like, wow, we're probably not going to have a reign that long again for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to maybe give Roman his flowers, and I think he'll be a very over baby face once he comes back, and going towards, like, what you'd have Rock, Solo, Fatu and Tama Tonga with Roman, Jimmy and Jay and
Sammy,
I guess. Like,
look, man, I'm sorry. We need you.
But this time you're not an honorary use, you are a oos.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I think after that horrendous match at Mania Night 1, the Usos just need to be
put together. My God. Have you seen a clip circulating from this match? I still have not watched WrestleMania back in full.
No, me neither.
I've definitely cherry-picked some of the stuff that I wanted to rewatch back since being there. But someone has clipped that match, Jay and Jimmy, where I don't know who it is, but I think it's Jimmy, where they're squaring up and they're fighting and stuff. And one, I guess their daughter was in the front row for this match, and he looks over and she happened to be, like, on her phone. So he goes, "Hey, watch your uncle wrestle, for God's sake," and then, like, continues the fight. And, like, I agree with the majority of people. That match wasn't that great. But that definitely makes it a little bit. He's like, "Yo, what are you fucking doing?" Well, maybe if you put on a good match, your kids would. Even your own kids didn't like that match. They're on their phone, like, "Guys, Dad, what are you doing?
I can't see another super kick."
Yeah, it's like you're really good as a team, but, like, never fight again.
Yeah.
So Bloodline, Tama Tonga coming in. An interesting bit of this is the, like, no, Heyman. Don't run. You're with us. And then Heyman's like, "Oh, okay." And then goes, "Call Roman Reigns." And he's like, no, doing that. So, yeah. Like, stretch that out. That'll easily get Tama Tonga over as a big character, like, right away. They must have some faith in doing that. And again, it is all interesting because look back at the history of Paul Heyman with the Samoans all the way back. So it is, like, continuing
had
this.
Haku and Rikishi team in.
It's crazy. So I'm definitely, like, look, I won't lie and say, "Oh, fuck yeah, Tama Tonga's in WWE." Mm. Like, yes, can't wait. Because he wasn't one of my favorites in New Japan. The Corey Graves, bless his heart, was like, "This guy's been running roughshod in New Japan." Mm. Yeah, he's kind of not been doing that. But this past year, he did have a really good match. He has been stepping up. Look at the shape he's in. Like, he looks the part.
And
so.
I think it just freshens this whole, like, the story's finished and now we need to go next. And I think the problem with, I think in hindsight, it was a good move having Cody lose the first Mania because I thought the moment was so much bigger this year, but they definitely dropped the ball on the bloodline because it was rinse and repeat a lot, wasn't it? It was, "Oh, let's do friction within the bloodline and, oh no, we're good. Are we on the same page? We're not on the same page. We are on the same page. It was very repetitive, the story. And I think now with, you know, Tama Tonga, most likely Jacob Fatu joining in, The Rock kind of, like, you can have The Rock as a character without being on screen and not even hearing his voice, but just the, oh, we've had orders from the final boss to do this.
Meanwhile, he's at like a Disney press conference the other day on Friday. He's like, Moana 2 coming out. Yeah. And then you flick the channel and it's like, call the high chief.
Yeah. So I think that works, having him as like this omnipresent figure that's just like looking over everything. And I'm interested in the story going forwards. And there's definitely like nice combinations you can have and building to a big peak. As I said, probably Survivor Series. You can have Tama and I'd see the tag titles going from Waller and Theory to Owens and Randy, and then that's a good SummerSlam match, you know, Owens and Randy against Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu, and get those on the bloodline, and then you can have the Usos fighting them over the tag titles, and I think that's interesting. I think you've got now with this a whole year mapped out of stuff you can do.
Yeah, with some fresh faces, they'll definitely make some more money on different bloodline iterations and all different. Who's, you know, is Solo the leader? Is The Rock? Mm. Is it Roman? Like, Roman posting a video the day after he lost, pretty LeBron James energy, just like smirking at the camera on the treadmill, like, I'm training. So it's like, he's got to come back as a big baby face, you'd imagine. Because we do have to give him flowers. He was a great, like, heel in the past, especially the last year. Like, the discourse of him losing, Cody losing to Roman, really just made another full year of people like just amped up to be like, how could they do this, when in reality, well, we'll do it now. So it did work in hindsight, and it became one of the biggest storylines and still is. So the next step is great. I just need that red Wolfpack bloodline t-shirt, like the wolf, but like it's something
inverted so it's red with black
letters. Exactly. Some other things from SmackDown. Braun Breaker as new music. What? Why would you go from Generic Rock 3 to Generic Rock 7? I like the other one.
I'm Braun Breaker, I am Braun Breaker.
I can't sing his name.
I can't sing his name to this
one. It doesn't work. I tried it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as good.
I don't get it, because I assume both are Def Rebel anyway. So
it sounds like it more like Steiner. It sounds like they're trying to go for like the 80s rock song Steiner, like, because they even mentioned, Corey Graves on commentary was mentioning the Steiners a lot more. So like going for like, no, you're a Steiner, use the 80s rock. Whereas the other one was more like, I don't know.
I really liked his, his old
It was
theme.
Way better.
But yeah, like, he's going to be a big deal on SmackDown, I think, which is like, we've been seeing this guy's praises for a couple of years now at this point, and he's totally ready. And again, new blood, that's going to just shake up the main roster for the better, I think.
Yeah, easily.
Just poor Cameron Grimes.
He's
every time he's on TV, I'm like, I forgot you still work here.
Yeah. I like him, but
I like Grimes.
But. Yeah. Other things, I watched the triple threat main event, AJ, Steen, and Ray. That was pretty fun. Like the
Steen.
Sorry, Kevin Owens.
Steen for 10 years.
I liked him pushing Punk shirts off. Did you notice that?
Oh, his whole entrance. Hey, you know those cool, really long
your
shots
cameras.
We're doing?
Yeah.
Can we do that now? Cool. Yeah, follow me. He's so just naturally funny, I think. But this was one of those matches where it was kind of when the bell rang, I was like, oh, fuck, this should be pretty good. And I thought they had some really creative, like, triple spots between them. And it just kept on going. I thought a very solid match.
Look, I'm guilty like many others. AJ's a little washed lately. Yep. But you tell me AJ is wrestling Rey Mysterio in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. So I did. And you know what? It exceeded my expectations, because there was some crazy back and forth there. AJ's like, no, the fuck I am. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm AJ Styles. I'm jacked right now, is what he's saying. So I think Cody AJ would be a way better, more interesting match for, like, isn't that?
Sorry.
It's LA Knight.
It's LA Knight v AJ.
AJ should win.
I think AJ wins, and then that can set up a rubber match down the line with LA Knight and AJ, like, after that clash. I think AJ Cody makes a whole lot of sense to me.
For Backlash.
Yeah, that's totally where I'd go. And should, you know, like, a motivated AJ might. He's still very capable. We saw in this match, he's still very capable of having good matches.
I just think it's crazy stuff that
some comment like chemistry. Sometimes there's just a lack of chemistry between people, and and I think that's been the case. His best matches in WWE have been with Cena and Roman, which is quite weird when you think about it, because you think, oh, AJ Jericho, that should slap. It really didn't.
Yeah.
And AJ Owens should have slapped when it really didn't. And Cena and Roman, who are two people that people quite often say can't wrestle, I thought had the best matches with him just because the chemistry was there. So Cody AJ, I'd go with that for Backlash for sure.
Yeah, I love the Styles Clash splash finish. Yeah. It was pretty sweet. So yeah, I'm actually would be pretty interested in that. I mean, it's weird because it's like AJ just lost at WrestleMania, but he should get the win back over LA Knight to then get this title match. So I'd be definitely interested in that. And I'm excited for Backlash because it's like a daytime thing. Mm. Is it a Saturday or a Sunday?
Saturday day.
Yeah, like how crazy for us.
It should be like 2 p.m., I think.
Awesome.
Which is pretty nice.
We didn't mention Monday Night Raw. That much, because we did NXT on Tuesday and we were talking about Mania and everything, but I know some of our boys stayed behind on Monday to check out WWE World and Monday Night Raw, and we watched it in the car actually, because we were still driving, so I was like, I might as well like load it up. So we were watching that, and I really loved The Rock and Cody Rhodes. As cringeworthy and awkward as it was, I think The Rock was trying to be like a bit that way in certain parts of it.
I think it was deliberate. I thought it was deliberately meant to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It was The Rock kind of giving him respect, but in a weird, like, creepy, sinister way.
Right.
I liked it.
So people are dissecting this for many multiple reasons. First being the title exchange, where it's like, hey, you want to hold my title? Again, he came off like, I'm thinking, like, I'm not saying The Rock should be cast in, like, you know, There Will Be Blood or fucking, what's that other movie with the creepy bad guy? But like the way he's like, hey, can The Rock hold your title? I'm like, yo, man, calm down. Take a step back. You're scaring me.
Apparently, this is a callback, though. Did you
see this? Yeah. Okay. So, so again, like the dissection of some of these things is there was a segment from Raw like years ago. Was this even like aired on TV or like after the fact?
It would have been, what, 2013, wow, when Rock was the champion and they unveiled the new title.
So Cody wanted to hold the title.
And Cody, I think it's Mustache Cody, asked him to hold it. And so, when he's IC champ, is he at the time?
Right.
Or something.
And said that title will be synonymous with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Which is funny because now Cody has that title, right? So somewhat the same title. Yeah, the gold version now. Yeah. Looks nicer with the gold. But,
absolutely.
But yeah, so there was that part. And then also Cody kind of holding the Muhammad Ali People's Champion, because that's what Cody like has been for the past little while, like the true People's Champion, and is that. So maybe there was some strange way of bringing that segment back there. But then also people are mentioning, what did The Rock give to Cody? What did he put in his hand?
Mm.
Was it like...
I don't know.
Cody, like, even in his promo on SmackDown, open mic night, bitch. Love that, by the way. But didn't get led on to what it was.
Like, is it like one of Roman's beads? As in, like, you slayed him and, like, kind of being...
The Chili Peppers?
Yeah. Like, that's what I see it as, maybe. It's like, hey, you've defeated him, and therefore being like, not you are the tribal chief, but it's like, hey, you have that victory now. And you kind of had that with Heyman on SmackDown, where Solo was mad about the dressing room, and it's like, no, like, he's the champion, like, that's where it goes, and it's up to us to get that back. I don't know. I've seen people saying, like, maybe it's a Rolex.
So they did this thing that wasn't aired on WrestleMania, but after Cody won the title, Triple H gifted him a Rolex, and it's the exact same type of Rolex that Dusty pawned off so that he could pay for Cody to, like, go, I think, he's trying to be acting school and all that kind of stuff. So Cody, there's a photo now circulating where it's Cody holding the title and opening this gift and, like, absolutely bawling because he realized what Triple H had given him because of the story.
How do you know that and find that? Like, that's crazy.
I mean, yeah, you would have to ask a lot of people. I assume Mama Rhodes was involved as well there, right?
Like, awesome gift.
Yeah,
like,
insane. So knowing that, I think you could have done that as what The Rock gave
him. The Rock doing it to him?
Yeah. So, like, character storyline wise as an on screen kind of thing.
That's just we've
already known
we
that.
We forget the yeah. Triple H giving it.
Yeah, yeah. Forget the real shit. Let's just focus that maybe The Rock is like, hey, here's this Rolex. And then Cody's like, holy shit. That yeah. could be like part of the story. But also, WWE doing these kinds of things just gets people like us talking and people talking. Guessing. And like, what did he give like, him? Was it
even
a, you know?
The, I mean, I know they paid it off in the same episode, but as like a show long thing of Twitter going, what did The Rock say to Cody and right. people lip reading and all that. I always like little mysteries, and I have more faith now, unlike Vince McMahon's lockbox, which, I mean, I assume now we
know what was in that. Was in yeah. there.
But, yeah, I have more faith this being paid off, and it'll be months away whenever, whether it's, like, Survivor Series Saudi or Mania next year, when we heat up this Cody Rock feud, like, you'll probably get the payoff, but... I like it as just little mysteries.
Yeah, like it could be a totally something that comes into play down the line. It could be the Rolex. I've seen lots of memes and Photoshops.
Yeah.
It was because he does say, don't ever break my heart again, which yeah. is also like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I assume he meant taking that match away from him, taking
don't ever break my heart,
taking Rock and Roman away from him.
I did like The Rock basically saying like, hey, though, we are going to wrestle.
Yeah,
because now it's like, yeah, I don't really care about Rock v. Roman. I'd rather watch.
We'll get it.
Yeah.
We'll get both matches.
Yeah. Roman v. Rock at WrestleMania 42, and then The Rock can just retire.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if we get both this year or not.
Yeah, you think that maybe we get that match sooner than
I think we get Cody Rock pre-Mania.
Wow.
I mean, both are huge matches
yeah.
that you've got at your disposal. And you've got all these stadium shows now you're trying to do. Seems like SummerSlam is off the table because Smashing Machine rap shooting on April... On
Smashing Machine?
Yeah.
What is it?
The Mark Kerr UFC.
Oh, film. Right.
That rap's filming August 1st, I believe, and SummerSlam's August 3rd.
Okay.
So we can probably rule out that. And, like, I mean, watching the tag, like, it was, like, Rock looked great, but I don't think he'd have been ready for a singles match.
Yeah.
So... He's got more time to train for that. And yeah, but whenever they're both coming, I'm interested in both matches. And I think Cody Rock definitely seems, at this point, the more compelling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that was a great segment. Raw was pretty fun as well with Cena showing up and
yep.
and all sorts of things. But any other things?
Roxanne and Ilya, who we mentioned on Up Next, who I thought had both good showcases. I definitely see them moving up soon. I thought Naomi and Tiffany Stratton had a pretty good match as well. I thought it's the best Naomi's looked actually since coming back, and going with Naomi Bailey as a first sort of defense for Bailey. Bailey, it's funny because I'm watching her like give her speech, and she's kind of been the fourth of the four horsewomen, I'd yeah. say, and. You know, finally getting her flowers. As she mentioned, like this Mania, she's won titles at Mania, she's lost titles at Mania, but this was the first like singles title defense. It felt like a big deal. She won the title, but just how much bigger of a star Sasha has seen than Bailey all these years, and then how natural and comfortable Bailey came across
yeah.
in this on the mic compared to that Mercedes Moné promo.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like striking to me.
Yeah.
Bailey was never really one of my favorites. Like of the four horsewomen, she was probably my least favorite, but I think I've really grown to respect her work. And
especially after last week.
I thought you could argue that Bailey and Io was the match of the weekend, like over Mania. Like it was definitely in the top three for me with Cody Roman and Gunther Sammy. Like I love that match, and it's one I do want to watch back. But yeah, I thought Bailey having a moment, like I'm really happy with that. Naomi's a good first defense. Like I don't see Naomi winning.
Yeah.
But Tiffany is someone I think we should go with down the line as well. I think that
yeah.
would be a great match for Bailey at one of these other PLEs coming up.
Yeah, like Tiffy already show it its time. Like right away can hang with some of these like stars
yeah.
already, and she comes out in that Clueless outfit, like, right away. You're like, if you didn't know who she was, you'd be like, sorry, who the fuck is that?
Like, I'd maybe hold off her facing Bailey until she takes it.
Yeah,
I think Tiffany's someone who maybe her first challenge should just take it, because I think she's a strong enough character to carry the title, and I think you want to give Bailey a good few months as the champion before you move it to someone else.
Yeah, that could definitely be like a SummerSlam down the line. Like, let Bailey have a bit of a run first and then do that. But yeah, so there's good stuff going on in WWE. Like, they're really stepping up with this Paul Levesque era with all the changes. No more weird AI graphic things.
Yeah.
PWI reporting that they're going to step away from the giant... What, the Roman Reigns, the big time Bex.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other ones.
I don't know why, but I enjoy Judgment Day's one. The hoods.
The one with R-Truth
in it? R-Truth as well.
The rest of them don't look that
good. But yeah, I think it makes sense. Like, we've seen Lee fittings work, like the changes, less camera cuts, these long shots for the entrances and transitioning between, like, bleeding between scenes. Like, I love that Sami Zayn entrance at Mania.
Yeah.
Just being there as well when you're watching him go from his wife and kid to Chad Gable to Owens, and then just that long tunnel before he gets to Gorilla, and the Sami chants in that stadium just growing and growing as he's getting psyched up. Like, one of my favorite entrances of the weekend, and it's so simple as well. It's not pyro, it's not dancers and orchestras and all this, just... a guy getting fired up, walking to the ring, and it like gave me goosebumps. And I love that. And I think if we're going for a more like sports based presentation, and I say that with still theatrics and all that, giant hooded figures and giant chocolate Roman Reigns is like,
yeah, it's a Roman one. I hate it. I could not stand
that bloodline tree and all that.
There's like, some weird ones that they did.
I think it's a good move.
Just like you putting all the money into that, which I don't know how much it would be for someone to make that, but like doing other things.
And I'd be curious how long these sellouts go for. We use this short entrance because they're sacrificing. You look at some of these stages they've had, and I'm a fan of a big elaborate stage and stuff, but. It looks cool as well with the short entrance and just people packed around.
It's crazy.
It looks great, and I can see this continuing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that they're on this big run of it just being super popular, like right now. And we've been saying it for the past little while, especially the lead up to WrestleMania, that like your creeper fans that are like not out in the open wrestling fans that'll be like, what's going on with Roman Reigns? You're like, oh, sorry, you watch wrestling now? No, I watch every week, actually. Oh, you do like wrestling. Oh, okay.
The guy, sleeper the guy closeted runs karaoke at Gabby's.
Oh, yeah.
Was obviously running karaoke last night and just goes to me, like, man, how that must have felt when The Undertaker came. It's like, you know, people know this stuff, and it is creeping.
Yeah, it's kind of like seeping into everything else. Like, they're really firing off in all direction with everything. So it's been a good WrestleMania week. Like, honestly, it was a hell of a week for wrestling fans. And as we know, it doesn't stop. There's wrestling every week. There's wrestling every weekend, whether it's whatever you're watching, whether it's New Japan, AEW, things that we didn't talk about today. There's so much other wrestling out there. And it's, you know, it's, you could say wrestling is really popular again, but WWE is very popular right now. And can't wait to see where they go. I'm excited to watch like a Backlash in France and a Bash in Berlin and yada yada yada. So it's gonna be another wild year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Anything else?
I caught up with Dark Side. I don't think you've had a chance yet.
No, I really want to. I haven't watched the last two.
I'll kind of spoiler free with it, but I really enjoyed the Chris Colt one.
Okay.
I think. You and I are kind of on the same page with the Dark Side of the Ring episodes we've enjoyed, which are the ones that we, as wrestling fans, didn't know anything about. So the ones that stick in my mind are the Herb Abrams one and the Collision in Korea, which are two things that I went in completely cold, not knowing what happened, and really enjoyed it. And this Chris Colt one was kind of like one of them, like this guy is just fucking nuts. And
right.
And yeah, like a real like mystery with like, did this guy just falls off the face of the earth for a few years and all this. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting. The Harley Race one was good as well. Like, obviously, Dark Side's always good, but I think the Chris Colt one's been one of my favorites this season.
Yeah, I'll have to catch up on these because this season has been phenomenal as well. I love the Brutus Barber, and then he was just at the bar downstairs.
Yeah, what the fuck was that all about?
Okay, so like we love wrestling, and we love wrestling way too much that we spend all our life talking about it. Mm. But we have a bar across the street from our condo downstairs by the lake in Toronto here. And we never go to this bar, to be fair. Like, it's always empty.
I've been like three times.
We've been like, and we've lived here a long time. Yeah. And like, it's literally the closest bar to us, and we never go there. And just last week, the bar was promoting that a mystery Hall of Famer was going to do like an autograph signing and event at this bar. And they didn't even promote what wrestler it was. And me and you were like, what the fuck? Like, we live across the street from this, and we just heard about this. And they don't even tell you who it was. And we both guessed. Who would it be? It says Hall of Famer. And we're like, it's got to be someone kind of shit, doesn't it? It was Brutus. The Barber Beefcake. Which, like, if you advertise that, maybe I would have went and hung out with him.
Yeah, I'd have asked him how his face. To go paragliding in Lake Ontario.
How's your face doing? No, I love that. Love that episode and love the barber. So I'm kind of mad that they wouldn't just...
Did you go?
No.
Did anyone?
No, I couldn't even find, like, bad promoting on their part. Like, Brutus... You need to hit us up for some better promotion because they didn't even promote it.
Like, honestly, I'm not really one to pay to meet people. But for just $25 for the bar across the road, if I wasn't working, I'd have gone out.
Hear some stories? Yeah, we literally live across the street from this bar. So it's like, we would have went if you like promoted it properly. Yeah.
Like, I know Terry won't, but I'll be your friend, Brutus.
Yeah, I'll have a few shots with him. Get a haircut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, really weird. I'm also just about halfway through the Bray Wyatt documentary.
Oh, which nice.
I'm actually really enjoying. Just for people not going to WrestleMania, I get a great time to release it because all the buzz for WrestleMania, but people going, it just like slipped past me by.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
But yeah, really enjoying it so far. Kind of gone through his whole FCW stuff and like his disdain for Husky Harris and all that, and there are some good interviews there, so I'll probably finish that at some point this week.
Excellent. So that's it for today. We will be back on the post feed on Tuesday night right after NXT, so join us for that. We'll chat about Raw too, I'm sure. But then next week, we are climbing the CN Tower, so we won't be going live Sunday afternoon, but check the Patreon for a little bit of a CN Tower road diary from maybe the top of the CN Tower. When we get there, we'll record a little...
No, we can't take our thing.
Oh, we can't take our phones
up. We'll do it whilst waiting for Sunset Grill.
Yeah, we'll probably get brunch after.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
I'll get two breakfasts again.
Yeah, perfect. So we'll be doing that, and then we'll watch Dynasty. But at Poison Rana Pod on Twitter and Instagram, give us a follow.
Thank you for everyone in the chat today. Shout out Martin Bushby, who just released Eagles Don't Hunt Flies. Jake from the Windy City was in there. Dante, Ray, Chris Jones being very active today. Really appreciate all your comments and feedback. Adam, Goodfella, B Detroit, and Cameron Starr. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you all for listening.
Yes, thank you all. I didn't watch UFC 300, but seeing that crazy knockout was nuts. I saw Pollock was raving about it, and just I've watched the clip like a whole bunch of times. But they also had Mark Coleman come out, who like recently almost died from saving what his parents in a fire or something like that. It was this whole crazy story. So I thought that was a nice little moment there as well. But yeah, follow us on all the socials for everything that we got going on. And then patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 to become a friend. There's so many podcasts in that archive. All the wrestling reviews, movie reviews, everything. And then our profile on Paul Heyman coming out later this week. So very excited about that. So I myself, Brain Harrington, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And shout out to our new friend, Scott Ferry, who introduced me to alcoholic Baja Blast Mountain Dew last week, which is probably why I'm still feeling the way I'm feeling.
Scott was prepared. Like, shout out, Scott, for just preparing us with bottles of
he was the
water,
dad.
Hard Mountain Dew.
I don't think I would have survived without him.
Yeah.
But he also introduced us to a lot of, like, American snacks and drinks that we'd never get up here. So thank you, Scott. I appreciate that.
Thank you, everyone.
And appreciate everyone out there. So take care, goodbye, and be safe.
Ahoy!